Hello and welcome to Core Finance. This is the morning show sponsored by Beaufort Securities. I'm Matt Brown. I'm joined today by Tim Harrison, who is Head of Wealth Management at Linear Research. How are you today?
Very well, very well.
Good, good. Well, let's kick off with the headlines. FTSE up as miners and financials outperform. Small uplift for the FTSE, maybe attributed to sterling, a little bit of sterling weakness this morning.
I think that's the boredom trade, or the go-to trade at the moment. You see weakness in sterling, the FTSE 100, you know, pushes higher, the 250 drags a touch lower. On the flip side, you see sterling strengthen. The reverse is occurring. So I think it's a case of, at the moment, investors are just sort of waiting on the sidelines, waiting for things to clear. Obviously, you've got a lot of geopolitical risk, North Korea, Trump, the read across from Merkel and Brexit, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I think at the moment it's a case of just wait and see, which is why you are seeing relatively low sort of movements. We're not seeing the 1%, 2% swings in the FTSE like we have been used to over the last 12 months. But it's a case of, I think everyone looks to be gearing up for a move into year end, either higher or lower. That's the question.
Fantastic. And briefly off air, we were just talking about UK industries, and you know, the UK or Britain used to be the workshop of the world, and moving forward in a post-Brexit environment. But there's a lot of positive stories coming out about technological developments and people investing in the future and, well, jobs in the UK. Just talk us through your views on that.
Well, you've got a number of headlines over the past couple of weeks. First and foremost, you've got INEOS, Jim Ratcliffe, suggesting that he wants to build a new Defender. Which could potentially create hundreds of jobs and obviously be a boost to the car-making industry in the UK. Obviously, you've got the likes of Jaguar, Land Rover, Nissan, who are already in the UK but are doing very, very well. So that's a positive, a billionaire putting his money to work and building British. Mm-hmm. Furthermore, overnight, you've seen confirmation from Sir James Dyson that he's looking to invest, I believe, $2.5 billion in building an electric car by 2020. Again, you know, it's not dissimilar sort of business model, if you like, to Apple, where the price doesn't really matter. People want it. You know, you buy their fans, and they cost you hundreds of pounds if you're a Dyson lifer. So it'll be interesting to see what it looks like, how it comes out, and also it's a potentially a change in the way that he's looking to power the cars. With a solid state as opposed to the lithium battery, which the forerunners have produced.
And EasyJet, there was a news today that they're looking to produce in the next 10, 20 years an electric plane, jetliner. Would you fly one?
It's a tough one, because at the end of the day, you know, many years ago, everyone thought electric cars were a bit of a pie in the sky idea, and now you've got the likes of Tesla really investing heavily into being able to go that extra mile. Excuse the pun. And so ultimately the technology is going that way. So if they can prove that there is sustainability, then fantastic. I mean, I wonder how long it'll take to charge an aeroplane, however.
Super. Looking at stock specifics this morning, Royal Dutch Shell, FTSE one to watch. What's your take on this?
Well, it's obviously the oil price has been very much in the headlines for goodness knows how long now. But again, you're seeing it sort of breaking the $60 barrel level, which is obviously good for these guys, because their last set of earnings have been where the oil price has been very much depressed. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of market commentators have suggested that the oil price, the happy medium, the equilibrium, if you like, is around about the $60 a barrel level. And, you know, with these guys like Shell, for example, they pay a great dividend. They want to stick in the portfolio, in my opinion, and just leave. As I say, I think their next sets of earnings on a slightly higher oil price will look, in comparison, relatively attractive. But they are investing in growth. They are investing in the future. You've seen that with various acquisitions over the last couple of years. So I think they're one to stick away and hold on to.
Understood. And moving into the AIM market, boohoo.com, figures out this morning, good, bad, ugly, anything to cry about?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, Boohoo's been one of my favourite stocks in the retail space, and also down on the AIM market. They've obviously done very, very well since they IPO'd a number of years ago. The share price has reacted accordingly this morning. Again, everything, the shift seems to have been and is continuing to be towards online. Boohoo seem to be stealing a march against their larger peer, ASOS. Will it continue? You know, I wouldn't bet against it. But again, with these sorts of companies, they're not bricks and mortar, so they're very hard to value on a fundamental basis. But sales volumes going through the roof, you know, these sorts of companies are benefiting.
Super. Moving on, looking at the pound, a little bit weaker this morning. Talk yesterday from the Shadow Chancellor that if Labour come to power, there could be a run on the pound. So that could
I think it'll be more like a sprint, to be quite frank with you. Again, you know, the trade at the moment has been very much sort of dictated by the sterling strength, dollar weakness, or the vice versa. And we seem to be holding this level around about the 34 to 35, 35 and a half level quite nicely. Obviously, we have seen sterling down in the mid to late 120s for quite some time and sort of plateauing around that level. So again, it's a case of will economic data from either the UK or the US dictate a push higher or lower in the cable rate. Again, it's one to watch. And as I've said numerous times, I'm very much in favour of sterling continuing to strengthen.
Good stuff. And looking at a broker update, Bovis Homes. Today we've had Phil Hunt, new recommendation, add to hold, which is effectively a buy recommendation in old money. Talk us through Bovis Homes. It's had its downs. Are we going to see some ups now?
Well, again, it's one of my favourite areas and has been, as you will note from previous shows. I like the home building sector. We are in desperate need of homes and cheap homes at that. Bovis, Redrow, Taylor Wimpey, those guys are going to continue to produce with the relative strength of the British economy, more cash, if you like, for those to go out and buy. And with the government having been supportive of the builders, it's a case of I think that they will continue to drive forward. Obviously, they have had various issues with regards to their construction problems, teething problems, etc., etc. But with a new chief exec who came in and immediately lumped into a huge chunk of shares, he's looking pretty right now. But at the end of the day, he knows what he's got himself in for, and you always want to back a management who buy into the dream.
Understood. And read across, we were talking off-air about Carillion as well. You know, Carillion performing well today. There could be a potential bid on the table for Carillion.
Well, again, with Carillion, you know, when they had their first legs lower, everyone was suggesting before that they were potentially a takeover target. Obviously, that was smacked in the face with the various sort of write-downs and downgrades, etc. But again, at around about 50-55p, in my opinion, they're a steal for someone. But that someone has to be willing to take the risk that there could be a few ugly ducklings within the balance sheet.
And they'll have to probably wait till Friday when they get the market is aware of the balance sheet before they actually come to the table, potentially.
Precisely.
And moving on, core number. Number 10, this is a number I've picked. I have briefed you on what it is. It is the reduction from 12 to 10 Jaffa cakes in a packet. This is the shrinkflation trade.
Well, I mean, what can I say? My weight loss will continue, no doubt. I mean, look, at the end of the day, you know, the pricing and everything, the core materials, the raw materials going into these things are affected massively by, obviously, supply, but also the currency. Currency plays, that is a major factor. With these, you've noticed over the last number of years that that confectionery is continuing to decline in size. Will that affect profit margins? Will you stop going out and buying Jaffa cakes? Most probably not. You'll probably just buy two packets rather than one.
Understood. And Jaffa cakes as well are classified as cakes, not biscuits, and therefore don't
have VAT.
Exactly.
There you go.
So they do have an advantage over other biscuits. And the main ingredient of Jaffa cakes, the fruit ingredient, make a guess.
Have no clue. I'm going to guess it's not orange.
It's apricot.
There you go.
Fact of the day. And finally, moving on to the economic calendar. Quite a busy day. Anything jumping out at you there?
I mean, to be frank with you, I think the two data points to watch out for, three data points that are going to be coming out of the US. You've got durable goods, pending home sales, and the crude numbers. Mm-hmm. Now, all of those are historically have been market movers in their own space. But again, all three will suggest the strength of the US economy and furthermore, thus the global economy. The US still is the market leader, if you like. Some positive figures again from the first two, and you could see further clarity towards a rate rise potentially towards the back end of the year, which everyone's speculating about.
Super. Well, let's wrap up there. Tim Harrison, Linear Investments. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.